Welcome to ITV's Travel Hero Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Lamb-Davies, with management consultancy at RyderPro. In this podcast, we focus on artificial intelligence and have invited three experts to share their insights and findings with us. First, we get a general overview of technology adaptation from Laila Summa, CEO of Play to Change, followed by a discussion with Marcus Stumper, who's CEO of CruiseWatch, highlighting areas where AI is already being successfully deployed. And finally, we'll wrap up with Christian Watt, who's CEO of Magpie Travel, by exploring how the tours and activities sector is integrating AI technology into its offering. Laila, welcome. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Charlotte.
Laila, I think before we dive into the questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and Play to Change?
Where should I start? I guess the most important thing to know is that I love to turn sustainable strategies into tangible results. So what does that mean? I guess it means that I love to generate meaningful impact and focusing also here on the meaningful and human progress. And this is what I do since 8 years so far. And what we as a company do is we see ourselves as kind of boutique for digital transformation. And we try to link kind of tech people and strategies to put it into execution at the end.
28 years in the game, I guess you will have seen an awful lot of change. And obviously, we're going to really benefit from that when we dive into our chat now. Let's start by talking about adaptation of new technology. How can travel companies effectively introduce and adopt new technologies, and here specifically AI, within their organization?
Yes, to be honest, I strongly believe we really can learn from the past. And I guess the most important thing is, first introducing and adopting is not the same. We can introduce something within 3 to 6 months. The adaptation, meaning, you know, where everybody or the majority of the employees really use the new technology to generate impact, to really unlock the business value in a sense of capitalize on technology, and in this case, AI, is something completely different. And what I see is that people are kind of good in introducing it, but less good in the adoption and in the capitalization on it. Meaning that at the end, we need to see some kind of, you know, booking conversion rates going up, or revenue per available room or seat, whatever, going up, or customer service, you know, having a shorter response time, for example, or whatever you might measure, right? So a successful introduction and adoption, in my view, means that we see that we can capitalize on AI.
Well, that's a very good place to start, at least also for people that might be at the early stages of embedding AI into their organizations. Are there, maybe you can share with us, some key steps in building an AI-powered organization, whatever that means to some extent?
Yeah, I guess this is one of the most important but also most crucial things and difficult things to answer, right? Because also here, I know that everybody is asking for kind of a recipe, but at the end, there is no one-size-fits-all solution for all companies. So just simply by the fact that we see completely different stages of maturity within the companies, but also within the industries, to be honest, if it comes to digitization and the whole topic around data. But I guess, anyway, there are some steps you can follow in general. We know that technology is not the biggest challenge, right? Culture is. And even if we know that culture is a challenge, we often start by focusing on the technology. So this is kind of a paradox. However, I strongly believe that the most important thing to do when we start is to develop a clear scope, and a clear scope of what we would like to achieve by introducing AI, for example. It's not, you know, kind of a mean by itself where it's just the scope of introducing AI, because this does not help us. And it does also not mobilize people or empower people to follow you, because they simply do not understand why they should. So So we need to answer the why. Why are we using, or why do we intend to use GenAI, AI in our company, and what kind of value will we generate? And here, I guess the most crucial part is not focusing only on the business value, because at the end, employees ask themselves, what's in for me? And so it's nice to hear that the company will be more competitive and so on. But at the end, I would like to know, as an employee, does it help me to be faster, better, delegate stuff I don't like, whatever it might could be for employees? This has to be highlighted specifically at the beginning, and also, you know, kind of defining a shortcut how people can less talk about it, but start to use it. And by the usage of it, you know, they see the value.
This is great insight and food for thought, again, when you're starting on the journey, or when indeed you have gone through some technological transformation before, and we are now at that next hurdle to kind of overcome and remind ourselves of what needs doing. We're really talking about leading the change successfully. And might you have some examples of companies that have navigated sort of previous waves, shall we say, of tech change, be it digital or mobile, or even, you know, adapting to social media? Might you have some examples for us?
I mean, there are luckily plenty of examples, but I can bring you eventually one example, you know, going back to the time when I worked as a head of travel at Facebook. And there we had, you know, convinced several companies, specifically in the German markets, that, you know, kind of social media at that time, I mean, it's kind of comparable, like, you know, AI now. And we had to convince them that social media can bring business value, not just fans. And I guess what I saw is really, really important is that, you know, because decision making will be done at the end on the top of the company, right? Is that we really start to support whoever is in the decision making seat to effectively debunk all these myths around AI. And as we did at that time, you know, the myth about social media was that it's just about fans. The myth about AI is just that it's only about, don't know, ChatGPT, etc. But it's by far more. And so I guess what we need to do I mean everybody who wants to support companies in this whole adoption part, we need to find way how we can communicate the complexity that technology brings in a simple narrative, so that we can quickly address what competitors are already doing outside. Because we always, I guess, you know, accelerating transformation in a company or in an industry often works by just addressing that other competitors already do it. And so at that time in the travel industry, we addressed, you know, by just highlighting use cases, who others already used it for their campaigns and saw a lot of success by using it. And so people were kind of, you know, motivated to also do the same, just the peer pressure. Peer pressure always works.
Yes. I guess this brings us on to talking a little bit about how we empower our C-level executives. I mean, leading by example has always been a good management strategy, in my opinion. But how do we empower these executives and board members to really become more AI literate? And I guess the second question is, what are the benefits of having AI literate leadership in an organization?
I guess there's this nice saying about with power comes responsibility. And I guess it's not a nice to have to be C-level and you know, to start trying to find out what AI could bring for the business. It's not a nice to have. You have to. It's within your decision and within your responsibility that you are self-motivated to learn that. Because at the end, executives who want to stay in their positions need to realize that engaging with new technologies is a crucial part of their job. And I guess this is, in my view, always the, you know, this false narrative we have. We believe that we need to convince the C-level, and this is true, but in an ideal world, they would be self-motivated because they know it's part of their responsibility, right? So, but your question, you know, was more about how can we engage them? And I do not try to repeat myself, but I believe we need to simplify complexity for them. And we need to show them use cases which are tangible so that they know how they can, you know, translate these abstract ideas around AI into tangible something which helps them to see that it really could deliver benefit for their companies. And so I guess, yes, simplifying complexity, putting into a nice narrative and showing them ideas, and how they can, you know, successfully implement it as part of their core processes within their companies.
I think that's really, really good feedback and a great answer to a complex question. It should be within the job description if you are in the C-suite that you really need to take an interest in new technology and enable yourself or engage yourself and be excited about it, because there really is no way around it. I wonder, as we sadly already come towards the end of our little chat, I wonder if you could just very, very briefly talk a little bit about what are the sort of AI market approaches of the major tech giants like the Googles and et cetera, and how do they impact, if you like, the broader market?
I guess there I would like to share the new kid on the block, which is not known by everybody because it's not available in Germany so far, Meta AI. So Meta also has his own large language model, Llama 3. And so their market approach is kind of, in my view, a good one, because we can really translate it into whatever other strategy you have within a company. So what they do is they focus, first of all, on performance and performance of the product, Gen AI, large language model. And they also focus on the performance of their team. So what they do is they really hire all the best, not only Meta AI, but also they really hire the best talents, because they know they need the best team to build the best product. The second thing is open versus closed. So what I see in companies is that they, you know, there are some people in the basement experimenting with AI, but at the end we need to win the majority using it, right? I mean, to launch something can be that there are only three people in a company, but to adopt it, we need the majority. So following what they do is really, let's keep it open versus closed. Integrate everybody who is willing to participate, to be part of the movement. Then integration, which is about, you know, to integrate it in existing tools, integrate AI, not only, you know, in new technology, but also in existing technology, because there you already have a lot of users using it. And the last thing, cooperate to win, right? Cooperate with all the other departments, with all the guys who are willing to use AI, to experiment with AI, and do not exclude people just because they are from business or they are from IT. Just we need some kind of interdisciplinary collaboration within the company. And this is what they do.
Indeed. Good communication has always also been a good strategy, of course, and we need to see that, as you say, across all the different departments.
Right.
Pia Leila, this brings us very sadly to the end of our chat, but we thank you very much for setting the scene and for being with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we will be talking to Markus Dumpf of Cruisewatch to find out where artificial intelligence is already helping businesses improve and succeed. Hello again. Now that Leila has set the scene and highlighted the impact of AI technology in travel, I'm delighted to welcome our second AI travel hero expert, which is Markus Stumper, who is CEO and founder of Cruisewatch. Markus and I will talk specifically about where AI is already having a positive impact in the travel sector and where practically and strategically AI technology can be deployed. Welcome, Marcus. We're delighted to have you with us today.
Hi, Charlotte, and thanks for the warm welcome. And I'm happy to join the ITB podcast. So, yeah, looking forward to our conversation.
Great. Why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about CruiseWatch and how you got started?
Well, at CruiseWatch, what we do is we offer text and voice analytics for customer inquiries and contact centers. So what we basically do, you know, we transform, with the help of AI, we transform conversations into clearly measurable KPIs, you know, such as, you know, contact reason, solution rate, or sentiment. And these KPIs are enhanced with summaries, with coaching tips and scorecards, you know, making content transparent, measurable, and also optimizable. We believe in general with technology in a hybrid model where the machine supports humans by freeing them up from routine tasks, you know, allowing agents to focus on personal interaction and, you know, sharing their personal expertise. And that is what we started like years ago. In the last 4 years, we fully concentrated on this task. And that is, yeah, our main purpose for now.
Fantastic. I think that sets the scene beautifully. The hybrid model seems to work here very well. There's still lots and lots of human skills involved in being an expert, but if and where technology can help, of course, is the way forward. So let's dive straight in. How, in your opinion, is the industry adapting to and embracing AI-driven technology products?
Well, I think the travel industry is increasingly adapting to AI. You know, there are several examples like, you know, personalized recommendations, predictive maintenance for aircraft, or, you know, automated customer service. Though on the other side, you know, from my point of view, the travel industry is often not at the forefront. So there was recently a study in the German market about automation, and that's where we're coming from, automation and customer service supported by AI. And it found out that 75% of the companies, you know, either do not see any automation or just, you know, are just at the beginning stages. So I think it's just the entry point, you know, it's often, you know, analyzing emails, but it indicates that there is still, I think, a long way to go.
Mm. I mean, what are some of the biggest benefits of integrating AI-driven solutions? This is, after all, your day-to-day job, but can you just sort of kind of highlight that on a slightly more broader level?
I think I've touched this quickly, but I think AI can free up employees' time, you know, allowing them to really concentrate on revenue-generating tasks. So that's the main purpose for me. And the technology, and that's one of our beliefs, works hand-in-hand with humans, so supporting or taking over, you know, simple tasks, that's the main purpose. So it is crucial that there is, you know, right now there's a widespread lack of qualified staff, so therefore the AI can particularly be beneficial for routine tasks, or those, you know, requiring data-driven insights, you know, primarily, you know, tasks from my point of view is focused on lower complexity, but also on fewer interactions, you know. And that is, you know, was again, you know, today I'm the man of the studies, but and there was a Harvard study, you know, analyzing the impact, and there was a trial with, you know, people using ChatGPT and GPT-4 from OpenAI, and they found out that these workers were, you know, using AI finished 12% more work, were 25% faster, and produced 40%, you know, better quality work. And I think, you know, that might be just a study, but I think that is the potential. We should try to use this potential.
I mean, I would agree. And any technology that can help the travel industry actually enhance the services that we are delivering to the traveler now that we have, unfortunately, lost a significant amount of workers is obviously crucial. Is there any advice that you can give to smaller travel companies that may not have the resources, shall we say, of larger organizations to invest in AI?
Yeah, that's really a question I get asked very often. So I think the first part is if you start thinking about AI, don't start thinking about AI, start with a good business use case, right? You need to understand what kind of problem you want to solve, so where you have a pain point. And then it might be that AI can help you with that. But be focused, have a limited focus, you know, not a too huge project, you know, try to set it up in a very, you know, limited way. And I always say also some companies always start with automating things, but maybe augmentation is maybe the first step because you can have really, you know, short-term benefits of that. This is one of the things. The other one is make or buy. For a small company, I would always say buy something from the market, right? Look at your use case. When you think it's strong and you can have, you know, can have it in a relatively short time and learn from it, start buying a solution to the market. That doesn't mean for 10 years, but maybe start buying it for a year and get it on board and implement it very short term and learn from it. And that's the last point I would say. Involve your employees, right? Because I think that's the major point. You know, engage your employees in the setup and the testing and the optimization phases, you know, to facilitate learning and adoption, and then start the process again. But it doesn't need, you know, you don't need too many resources internally. You don't have to need a super high budget. But I think the crucial point is get started, take your use case, and, you know, try it out.
I think that's extremely good advice. I think play with it springs to mind for me. Just play with it. Be open-minded. Be open-minded with your employees and allow them also to play with the tools that are on the market so they can see for themselves what the technology actually can achieve. A slightly different question here, but what are the biggest challenges that companies face when they're starting to deploy AI technology, whether it be technology from CruiseWatch or other companies out there, and how can they maybe best prepare for these challenges?
Well, I think there are several things that, you know, that might be the biggest challenge. One is, of course, you know, every company has the feeling they have, you know, great data from a quality and from a quantity perspective. That is very rarely the case. Most often the data is not in a shape that you can use it right away. So that's something we experience very often. We often focus that, you know, the companies who have, you know, engaged with their employee stuff very early are much more successful. If you're done with the AI integration and then you present it to your team, that always creates some kind of fear or, you know, people are not really, you know, trusting into the solution. So the employee involvement is, you know, I mentioned that before, is super important. And also, don't think you start late and start with the biggest project and overtake everyone. So cut it into small pieces, start small, that I mentioned before. So don't have this kind of over ambitious projects where you do want to do some automation, which was never thought before in the first step. Start small, iterate, learn, etc. That's crucial, right? And don't start with too complex automation. And maybe the last challenge I often see within companies, they want to integrate everything in existing systems where 10 different systems work together hand in hand and nobody knows. So, yeah, it's easier starting with, you know, not integrating into every tool you have. So have it a bit more isolated at the beginning and then start integration. That are, you know, some things. And I think the approach, you know, how I would approach it would be the same, you know, start small, aim for quick results, involve your team, learn and adapt. And I think that's, you know, this incremental approach is absolutely key. And then you can also benefit from AI, but it's, and that's the interesting thing. It is, of course, a bit different for small and big companies, but it's not very different. Everybody needs to get in touch with this new technology, learn from it. And this is relevant for all, you know, all sizes. I sometimes have the feeling even small companies have a benefit because they have less, you know, overhead, etc., less rules, less boards. So therefore, sometimes they're even faster than when they can take quick decisions.
I guess the old saying of crawling before you can run springs to mind here.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe last but not least, what sort of misconceptions do companies often have about AI technology, and how are you and others addressing this?
Yeah, one point we just touched quickly is, I think, if you want to wait until there's a perfect solution which solves all your problems, you need to wait for 10 more years maybe, or 5 more years. I don't know. That's not the right approach. So start playing around with this and learn, because the learning is, you know, the learning curve is very fundamental, and the learning curve has very dimensions. Your staff, your people learn from it, and your whole organization. It has an impact on the culture, you know, on your team, on your work processes, and everything. So that's super fundamental to have from the very first moment. Because if you ask people in your organization, even the management, they will over or underestimate AI capabilities. We have people who think AI can do everything, and others think, you know, AI is still limited to keyword detection. It depends on the use case too. So we tackle a lot of these things before that, but I think all these misconceptions, that might be right or wrong, but try it out, right? Don't let theory, you know, take over control, just get it started, limited risk, but learn from it, and then you will see how it works. I think there's no option to wait for 4 or 5 years. You can see that companies who have already, you know, implemented AI solutions are going faster and are more profitable. So therefore, I think it's time now to start engage with this kind of technology, right?
Dear Marcus, this unfortunately brings us to the end of our little talk. Thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio today.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for hosting this interesting podcast.
Absolutely. Delighted you could make it. Next, we'll hear from Christian Watts of Magpie Travel, who will highlight how the tourism and activities sector is adapting AI technology into their offering. Thanks to Marcus again, and thanks to you all for listening. Christian Watts, CEO and founder of Magpie Travel. Welcome to the ITB Travel Hero podcast.
Yeah, thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Delighted to have you on board. You will, of course, complete our little trilogy of experts invited to talk about artificial intelligence and its impact on the travel sector. You and I shall specifically talk about the impact AI technology has had on the tours and activities vertical up until now. So by way of setting the scene, maybe would you please tell us a little bit about Magpie Travel?
Yeah, of course. We're specifically in the tours and activities or experiences sector, and we're a content platform for tours and activities. So we store product content and we distribute that to resellers and OTAs and various others. So we're very heavily into AI and very specifically in experiences.
Fantastic. Great. That sets the scene. I'm looking forward to diving straight in. So let's get to it. Right. My first question, how does artificial intelligence and specifically generative AI impact the tours and activities sector versus, shall we say, other travel verticals?
Yeah, I think funnily enough, because we're the sort of final product, right, in destination. And I think people are traveling not to use the technology, that the final place is the tour or the attraction or sitting in the cafe or the restaurant. And I don't think AI has a massive impact on that piece, but I think it does have a huge impact internally in all of the companies involved. So I think that's where it starts. It's more of an internal efficiency tool right now.
It would be, I think you will agree, it would be fair to say that the tourism activities sector has had a tendency at least to be lacking in technology adoption. How is it addressing or adapting to the arrival of AI on the whole, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's certainly what everyone says, isn't it, that this sector is behind, and I think that's probably true. I think there's been a lot of interest, mainly because I think it's really accessible, right? So this is the first technology that's come along that anybody can just jump in and use immediately. You don't need a team of developers, and you don't need a ton of prior experiences. So I think because of that, even the smaller companies are able to jump in really quickly. I'm not saying that all of them are. People are busy post-COVID and everything else. But I think there are some people using it heavily and some people are still ignoring it up to this point.
Mm. Could you maybe share some examples of sort of generative AI use cases from the tourism activities sector that springs to mind?
Yeah, of course. I mean, some of the stuff we're involved with is product descriptions, right? And I think a lot of people are just using it for some simple uses like that. So maybe you haven't spent a lot of time writing your descriptions and optimizing them for conversion, that sort of thing. I think people are using that. And then things like responding to reviews, just writing some basic sort of templates for customer emails. So I think a lot of times it's those simple tasks, right, which anybody can jump into and start doing today. And those are really helpful. They're not revolutionizing the world, but they're really helping individual companies be more efficient.
Mm. Again, in your view and with your Magpie hat on, as it were, what should tourism activities companies specifically be looking at whilst they are adopting and learning about AI technology?
Yeah, I think There's a lot of talk, right, especially on places like LinkedIn, and you've got every conference now, and there's a lot of discussion around it. I think people do need to keep up. I do think big changes are coming, but it's also important to focus on what you can do today and what the tools can do today. But it's important to keep an eye, I think, on the future, because a lot of companies might get wiped out with this. There's going to be a lot of changes in employment and different types of roles. So I think it's just really important to keep up. If you're not using the best tools available to you, which is a lot of the AI tools, and your competitors are, you're going to not be able to keep up. So I think it's just important for everyone to learn everything they can. Even if you're not using it to its full capacity, just try and keep up.
And try and be interested, I guess. And as you say, this is one of those technologies that have come, that has arrived, and where actually anybody can jump on it if indeed you can find the time to immerse yourself a little bit. But it really is, to some extent, some of it is child's play. And it's good fun. It's a good place to start just by actually looking at what it potentially can do to help your businesses. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what's happening in this field from a search and discovery perspective. I'm thinking sort of what's going on with our friends over at Google.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion around that, right, with Google especially. So Google results are definitely changing. I think Google has to move with this because otherwise OpenAI and other companies will eat their cheese. So search results are changing. The AI box is showing up on more and more search results these days. Google has their own Google Travel results, right? So they're dominating a lot of these search results now. So I think it's equally important for everyone to pay attention to that. And one thing I've been thinking about a lot recently is just how important it is to have all of your information on your website. So lots of FAQs, all of the information, opening hours, even the long tail sort of questions. It's really important to have all of that because it's not just humans now looking for your information, it's potentially agents, it's Google, it's LLMs that are now learning from that data. So get as much data as possible on your website, I think, is the most important thing people can do right now. And then trust Google to be able to surface those results, Google or other LLMs, right, that may start to get some traffic in the future.
That's really, really hands-on advice there for our audience. Thanks for that, Christian. I wonder, as we come to the end of this relatively small chat, I wonder if there are any final words of advice for the tours and activities firms as they emerge themselves in AI technology. I think you have already touched on a few of those, but maybe you could elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I think we're inundated right now with the amount of companies and the amount of chat. And all of the big companies have got a new release every 2 or 3 months, and it's really confusing. And I think you can cut through a lot of that noise and just go straight to one or two of the tools, like either Gemini or ChatGPT probably, and just get in there and start using it and see what it can do. And really going with an open attitude and ask it to do some fairly broad-based things. Ask it to do some, have a chat about strategy with these tools, and talk about your company and what else you could be doing, and treat it like an assistant. It's got so much value there, and you can do it on your own, on your laptop or your phone. Nobody's going to judge you if you ask a silly question. It's really just, it's sitting there waiting for you. So I think people should just jump in and don't get confused with all these other tools. Most of what you can do today, you can do just on ChatGPT or just on Gemini.
I love it. Thank you. That's absolutely, as I just said before, this is proper hands-on advice. And this goes way beyond and ahead of the tours and activities vertical. This is really for everybody who is in travel and is trying to learn more about the efficiencies of artificial intelligence. Christian, very sadly, this brings us to the end of our small chat, but it was a pleasure to have you here with us today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I very much hope to hear some live updates from you at ICB, at the ITB Berlin Convention next year. I have no doubt that AI will feature in many conference sessions for a long while still. So thanks again for being with us.
Yep, thanks, and look forward to seeing you certainly at ITB and maybe before then.
I'm sure there will be a chance for that. This concludes our Travel Hero podcast focused on artificial intelligence. Thanks to our three experts, Leila Sommer, Markus Strumpe, and of course, Christian Watts. Thanks to you, our audience, for listening. You can find more Travel Hero podcasts on ITB's website. Join us soon again, and safe travels.